James couldn't see that people were standing up on their toes during lifted. Okay. All right, okay. Love does lift us, always. It's sad when people can't love or are not loved or don't love. I want to talk tonight about the primary requirement for the soul winner. If a person does not have what we're going to talk about tonight, they will not be, and they cannot be, a soul winner. The verse that we're going to use as our jumping off point is 1 Corinthians 13:13. A verse very familiar to all of you. You could quote it right now without looking at it. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, "Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." We all know, because you've heard it over and over and over for years, that that word charity is the word love. There are various reasons why people go out and try to proselyte souls. Souls that personally don't know the Lord Jesus Christ or the Son of God. Some go out because they've been told that's what a Christian is supposed to do. Others tell people about Jesus because it's their job. They're on a church staff someplace and they know that's what people expect them to be doing. They serve some capacity. And then there are those who tell people about Jesus because they have a love in their hearts for the lost people, where they feel sorry for them. I'd like us to take some time tonight to examine our own lives and see why we do some of the things we do, particularly when it comes to telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I hope that we all understand that as born-again Christians and children of God, that we have a command from God, from Jesus Christ, and from God's Holy Spirit to go and tell all the world where God has placed us about the love of God and about Jesus Christ. I believe that most of us know that we have a debt of service to God. Salvation does not come free. Jesus paid an awful price for it. A price we haven't had to pay and we won't have to pay. The question is, why did he pay that price? As I've served the Lord over the years, I've taken notice of the various characteristics of different Christians and how they respond to the people around them. There is something that I have noticed among Christians, among those who claim to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Each individual has a different kind of love. There are three kinds of love mentioned in the New Testament. Now, you're going to learn some Greek tonight. Some of it you already know. But maybe I'll give you a couple of words you don't know. A friendly type of love, like you would have for your neighbor down the street, is the Greek word athelio. Athelio. And it means that a person is inclined or favorable toward friendship with someone else. It doesn't go beyond that. Thelio. The next word that is mentioned in the scriptures is a much more stronger word. It's a little more serious love, the kind of love you'd have for a biological brother or sister, or close friend, family member. And that word is phileo, phileo. That's where the word Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. Go get shot, okay? Every time that I would come from the north to come through Philadelphia, going back to our home in New Jersey, I would get lost. Every time. I don't know what happened. I just could not find the right turn. And we would wind up downtown. And I would usually have a carload of ladies from our church, and one of them would almost say every time, "I sure hope we don't make the 5 o'clock news." Because I had South Carolina license plates. We were in a very bad section of town. And so anyway, phileo love. You know, for phileo love, one might even dare to die. I use the term might even die for the other one. Depends on how strong the attachment is. Then there is the strongest form of love, the self-sacrificing love. And the kind of love that Jesus has for us and we are supposed to have for him. The Greek word is agapeo, agapeo. That is the kind of love of giving oneself. Now, there are two words that are very similar, and in the Greek language, one letter can change the entire meaning of the word, just like it can in English, but it's a little more pronounced in Greek. I just gave you a Greek word, agapeo, and just in case you're wondering how that is spelled, it's A-G-A-P-A-O, using the English alphabet, not the Greek alphabet. A-G-A-P-A-O. But there is another word in the Bible, particularly the New Testament, and that is the word agape. A-G-A-P-A. Agape. I'm sorry, it's A-G-A-P-E, A-G-A-P-E, yes, yeah. Okay, that is translated love, and that is also the word that is translated charity. Charity. We just read the verse in 1 Corinthians 13, where it says, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity, agape," not agapeo. Throughout the word, the chapter 13 of Corinthians, it's agape, agape, agape. What is the difference between those two words? They both mean self-sacrificing love. They both are talking about the kind of love we are supposed to have for each other. But as I have been involved in ministry for many years now, I notice that the difference between agape and agapeo love, it was not agape love that put Christ on the cross. It was agapeo love. And there is something in that. I want us to look more toward the top of the chapter, the first verse of the chapter. I want us to look at this chapter again, because there is a big difference between agape love, charity, and agapeo love. And you might, as a Christian, be experiencing and being involved in agape love, with your brothers and sisters. That's fine. But there is something missing. And I want to share with you tonight what is missing. We'll get to it in a few minutes. What is missing between the difference between those two words? Agape, agapeo. 1 Corinthians 13:1 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, agape love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. This passage in Scripture is saying we are not looking at agape love. And I'll explain the difference in a minute. That we are looking at agape love. And I'll explain in just a moment the difference between agape and agapeo. This first verse in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and that is the love chapter, by the way, folks. That's what we base our love on, is this chapter. Means that there is more to love. Agape doesn't get it. Agape doesn't do the trick. There is more to love than words. You can tell somebody, I love you, all day long. Even come in the middle of the night and wake them up and say, I love you. Oh, what are you waking me up for? No. Words are cheap. Words are cheap. Words do not communicate love. They don't. How many times you tell a person you love them, it's easy. Hang up the phone, you know, talking to family or friends and on the phone. And what's the last thing you say? I love you. Goodbye. Words. They mean nothing. They mean nothing. The next verse is verse 2 of 1 Corinthians 13. It says, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, agape love, I am nothing. Love is comprised of more than spiritual things. It's not prophecy or knowledge. Sometimes some pretty stupid people fall in love. Sometimes that's us. Faith does not necessarily constitute love. There's still more to it. Let's go on. 1 Corinthians 13:3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, agape love, it profiteth me nothing. Though we give all we have to the object of our love, though we show all benevolence, that won't be enough. Even if we sacrifice our own life by dying in some horrible way, that does not prove our love. Verse 3 tells us, it profiteth me nothing. Let's move on to verses 4 through 7. Charity, or agape love, suffereth long. Charity, or agape love, envieth not. Charity, or agape love, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly. That would be wickedly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Is that the kind of love you understand? Well, now you might be saying, I know all this stuff. What's this got to do with soul winning? Got a lot to do with soul winning, folks. The soul winner must be motivated by love. The soul winner must be motivated by love, not by duty or obligation. And the love must have the same characteristics we just looked at in verses 4-7, as to have patience, not jealousy or pride, thinking ourselves better or more important than the lost soul we're talking to. The soul winner must not be motivated by some kind of profit for ourselves or frustration on our part. And the motive must be pure, with the intention to do God's will. We must be careful not to make any false promises that are unscriptural. You know, if you get saved, all your problems will disappear. You'll have no more trouble. It doesn't work that way, people. God proves his love to us in the trouble. He takes us there sometimes purposely because we need it. We must be willing to be rejected or even attacked for our effort to show the love of God to other people. I don't know how many of you have ever been door knocking for a church. It used to be the big thing. Go into a community, knock on every door. If they don't answer the door, hang some kind of a door envelope on their door. It has all the information that you were going to tell them. And sometimes people will open the door. You say, I'm from Coastal Slam. They know you're from a church. They don't want anything to do with it. So, 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7 is a truthful description of godly love, but there's still something missing. And I promised you that I was going to tell you what that is and explain the difference between agape love, as written here in the 13th chapter of Corinthians, and agapeo love. So here we go. Where does love come from? Real love comes from God. The emotion that an unsaved young man and young woman might feel towards each other is usually not love, it's hormones. Sometimes it even involves lust. And there may be some palejo love involved, a very fondness. But genuine love can only come from God. That's the only place it can genuinely come from. When a lost person gets saved, it doesn't matter how moral or kind they are. They don't have access to real love before that. Let me say that again. A person unsaved does not have access to real love because you gave the right answer. You said love comes from God. So before God enters the heart, it's hormones, lust, at the very best, phileo love. When a couple thinks that they're in love and they get married, it's okay for the first few years. But then things start to happen. And love starts changing. Either it starts getting stronger or it gets less and less and less, because it wasn't real love to start with. Oh, we think it is. I thought I loved Connie. But it took a lot of years for me to find out what real love really was and what had to be a part of that. And that's the difference between agape and agapeo love. The difference between those two loves, we read them in the Bible with both words. Agape, if you're looking at a Strong's Concordance, is a 26 in the Greek, okay? That's the word agape. There is another word, 25. That's agapeo. It comes before agape. The difference between those two is passion. Passion. Passion doesn't come from outside or the things you do for people. Passion comes from in you. Passion is you giving of yourself completely to the object of your love. And without passion, love is not complete. It takes passion to love someone enough to try and win them to Christ. It takes a giving of yourself. It takes the willingness to be rejected, willingness to be shamed, willingness to be put down or even attacked. Passion is coming from your heart, and the Holy Spirit brings it to you the moment that you are saved. But a lot of people know that if they love passionately, many of you know this, if you love passionately, you're going to get hurt. There's going to be a time when you are hurt because you have given them of yourself. Everything that makes you, you, you have given them, not just your emotion, you have exposed your very being in passion to the other person. Look at chapter 13, and as we go through that chapter, you don't see any indication of passion there, do you? It's telling us what love is, but it doesn't measure the passion. Now, there's two words. Let's talk just a few minutes about passion. What is passion? Well, passion involves a person's soul. It comes from deep inside the person. It's a reality of agapeo love. And for some reason, many people don't have passion in their love. And I'm not talking about anything immoral or sinful. We're not talking about anything that might involve sex. I wonder if we're supposed to learn passion from our parents when we're growing up. I never saw any passion in my parents. Never. It has to come from God. And there are people who are so afraid of being hurt, they will not permit the passion of God into their lives. They build a wall. And if there's any passion in there anywhere, they surround it. There are certain diseases or certain maladies that where the body itself knows there's something attacking it, and it will encapsulate whatever it is. Iris can probably tell us what the medical names are for that, but our body will encapsulate it so that it cannot hurt the body, and doctors will go and remove whatever that is. But there are those who refuse to be passionate. And passion is a matter of giving of ourselves. People experience hurt when they give their passion to someone else. And they respond by turning off their passion so they can never be hurt again. Their children may never see passion. So they don't learn about it. They don't know what it is. Passion is directed by the individual to the individual and comes from deep inside. Compassion, on the other hand, another word, another completely different word. Compassion, on the other hand, is an outpouring of love of God through the individual toward a person with a particular need. Passion is you. Compassion is you see a need and the love of God causes you to move toward that need. We have compassion for kittens, for puppies, sometimes for somebody out on the street. That's part of what the blessing box is all about. Compassion. Seeing a need and meeting that need in love. Passion is much more different. Passion is the individual giving themselves to the other person. Compassion deals with need. Compassion comes from the Spirit. Passion, on the other hand, comes from the soul. And the two of them are different. If you will think about Hebrews talking about the sword, the Bible, being sharper than a two-edged sword, able to divide the spirit from the soul, two different things. What does this all have to do with soul winning? A person who is an avid soul winner has a passion for lost souls. Wherever they are, no matter what they are doing, they have a passion for lost souls. A good soul winner will have compassion, seeing the need for the lost. They'll be sensitive to the need. I think that the compassionate person does not have the depth of love, because it takes depth for the other person. A good soul winner will have compassion for the lost and will be sensitive to the need of the individual. And I think that the answer would be, many times we go to an individual and we try to witness to them. Are you a Christian? Oh, yes. I was saved years ago. We need to ask a different question. Tell me about how you got saved. Because it's easy to say, yes, I'm saved, just to get rid of the person. But you ask them to tell you how they got saved and you listen. And they may say, well, I haven't got time to talk right now. I'm busy right now, and so... You know, I can talk to you about it later. And they never say when later is. So I found a trick. Take out a gospel tract. Write your name on the back of it. Write your phone number on the back of it. Say, when you have time, call me, because this is important to me, your eternal welfare. And you are showing them a measure of love. And that measure of love may be just enough to get them to call you. If they're saved, they'll call you. If they're not, you may never hear from them again. I try and get their phone number too, so that I can call them. If I don't hear from you by next Friday, can I call you? Well, they think they're getting away. Yeah, that's fine. That's what has to do with soul winning. Love. Not just agape love, but agapeo love. The kind of love that involves giving of oneself. Compassion causes us or the people around us who we believe are lost. But most of the time, you and I are too busy with life to think about eternity for the other person. If we take the time to talk to someone about Jesus and eternity, how do we open the conversation? Now, people have become pretty good liars. Lying, I don't know why. I said what I said this morning. I don't know why. Other than Satan is standing beside you, ready to devour you. He is. He is the father of lies. So any time that you lie, you know he's involved. And we need to be on our knees. That's why we need to be wearing the armor of God. We ask them, are they saved? And they say, yes, just to get rid of us. Like I said, ask them, how'd you get saved? Tell me about how you got saved. If they're saved, they can tell you. They can tell you exactly how. We had a little girl come to camp. She was about 13. And I asked the whole group, there was about 140 kids. I said, how many of you are saved? Put your hands up. I just wanted to get a general feel for what kind of a group we had. And this one little girl who was sitting up here in front, I've been saved 21 times. What do you know from an answer like that? She doesn't know what it is. And most people really don't know what it is. What part of being saved do you object to? Do you have an objection to being saved? Any part of it? You have to come to church on Sundays. Or you got to go to church on Wednesday night. Or you got to go to church every time the doors are open. Is that objectionable to you? I check the heart. When you take the time to talk to someone, to show them your love for them, in that you are concerned about their eternity, you are demonstrating God's love to them, and you are really involved in soul winning. The thing that you need to be a successful soul winner is one of two things: compassion, agape love, or passion, agapeo love. With passion, you'll be giving your love to them in hopes of loving them for Jesus. With either one, you will be loving them for the Lord, and it will change your soul-winning experiences. If you love them, if you love a person, they can sense that. Just like you can sense when somebody is telling you a story or misleading you. You know. That's the Holy Spirit. Now, they don't have the Holy Spirit working in them yet, but they know. Somehow we know. Have you ever met a dog who knew whether you like dogs or not? Or a cat knows whether you are a cat person or not? That, by the way, a cat is that thing rubbing around your ankles, shedding its hair on your pants. Animals can sense whether we love them or not. Why can't people? The fact of the matter is that they can. Many people can show compassion for a little kitten because it's cute and cuddly and appears so vulnerable. Now that's a need. Passion, on the other hand, is where a person gives themselves to another person. They don't give themselves to a kitten or a stray puppy. That would be compassion. That is what is needed in our personal soul winning, and that should be our motive. If compassion or passion is not your motive, you need to take some time to talk to the Lord and reevaluate your relationship with Him, because we all should have both. We should have both. Passion is way beyond the physical aspects of love. It's a spiritual aspect of love. Compassion is still at the physical stage. If you're going to be a soul winner, you're going to need one or the other. If you're going to be a Christian, you should have both. Don't build a wall around either one, but embrace them, because they are the things with the Holy Spirit, when He comes into your heart, the first thing He brings is love. That's the first thing. Galatians 5:22. Then, once that love gets in there, that love is what constantly builds up and provides the joy. It is love that makes life joyful. Can you imagine going through this life not being loved? How sad that would be. Can you imagine going through this life not loving? Just as sad. So, the primary requirement for us to be successful soul winners is we have to love people. Either with passion or compassion. Agape or agapeo. Preferably both. Father, thank You for helping us to understand what we need to do for You. Thank You for being our God, for loving us with agapeo love, Father, for loving us as Jesus loved us. Help us to love others. Help us to be willing to do Your will in Your way and in Your time. Use us this week to love somebody for You, somebody for eternity. Use us this week. And may we see someone get saved, someone who we know, someone we love. And we will praise You, Father, because it will be You who does this. Thank You, Father, for being able to come before You, seeking Your will and seeking the power of Your Holy Spirit. Help us, Father, to be what You would have us to be, and we will praise You for what You do, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.